Entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence, bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
You made it. Congratulations and thank you. The show for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals who seek excellence is ready to get going. Barbie dolls, women in manufacturing, cyber security opportunities, and Mike Rowe asks, is college the only way to gain success? Welcome to the Business Builder Show. I'm Marty Wolf, and along with my sidekick, Mr. Kerry Carney, we are here every week to offer tips to help you build your business and your career. We talk about sales and marketing, finance, innovation, personal development, and whatever else we believe will bring value to you. Kerry, how are you today?
Very good, Marty.
Excellent. Our producer and the good looks behind the show is Mr. Tom Jenkins, and he is also with us today in the studio and feeling better, thank goodness.
Thank goodness, and boy, are you delusional.
So, Kerry, you know, we have quite a mix of topics today, and maybe for my own sake, I'd like to talk about, you know, what connects them all together, because we're going to be moving fast today on a lot of topics.
I would not think of Mike Rowe in the same sentence as Barbies.
See? That's exactly why we need to kind of start right here, you know? So, mix of topics. What connects them all together? Number one, women can help us fill the skills gap, in many industries. Number two, entrepreneurship is part of the solution to growing our economy. And yes, we will talk specifically about women entrepreneurs. And number three, we need to stay creative in our quests for better jobs and better businesses. So, Kerry, those are my objectives. I hope we connect it all together. So let's start, any business show would start, and that's the new Barbie doll.
Yes, this is very, very important news.
Of course. All right, what we did find is from, once again, Inc. Magazine. And the article is titled Entrepreneur Barbie, and it says this is a hit for Mattel, a total miss for women. Article written by Kerry Kerpen, K-E-R-P-E-N. I like this article. She really tied this in really cool. And she said there was a new Barbie doll. Kerry, your children are older now, so you probably weren't shopping for this Barbie doll. Tom, you maybe want to think about this entrepreneur Barbie doll.
My ears are wide open.
Okay, good. We have someone listening attentively. So she described this entrepreneur Barbie doll as she's wearing a fitted pink silk suit. She's holding a smartphone and tablet. She's wearing her classic high-heeled pumps. And the author asks, does this sound like every female entrepreneur you know? Good question.
No,
because we know people in a lot of different places and a lot of different industries, and I guess that's the point that she wants to make. So we want to talk about that. And she again reminds us that, you know, this may have been a great move for Mattel, but why does she feel it's an insult to women entrepreneurs everywhere? Kerry, you see in the article where it says there's a rise in media coverage around female entrepreneurship. Now, I think we can trace that back directly to the Business Builder Show, Tom.
Let's do that.
You know, I think we can.
Take credit where credit is due.
Oh, absolutely. There's a 300% increase in global press mentions of female entrepreneurship. Probably 200 of them relate to this show. Don't you guys think?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I thought so. We're being picked up worldwide, and so we're driving this. I'm kidding, in case anybody is taking me too seriously. You know? But it is a hot topic. Women entrepreneur, a hot topic. It says, one in every 11 women in the United States identifies herself as an entrepreneur. One in 11. Interesting. Now, let's go back to the point. If you were to draw a female entrepreneur, what would she look like? What would she look like? Now, you know, we know women in business. We know several women in business that may be professionally dressed, right? We know a Lynn. We know two Lynns in business that are professionals, have their own businesses. But I also know women who are operations managers. I know women who work in factories, and they certainly don't have high heels on, right? So if you were to draw a picture, what would it look like? Would that person have the high heels? Would they have the tablet and all that kind of stuff? Any thoughts on that, Carrie, in terms of what they would look like?
Certainly there are women, in depending on the job, have a professional garb or look.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's not the disproportionate model that you see in a Barbie doll.
There you go. Now, she talks about some things here in terms of she feels it's a total miss for women, and she says, women are not all one type. And she quotes a book called Women in Charge, The Experience of Female Entrepreneurs. And she cites four different types. Here they are. Innovative, radicals, conventionals, and domestics. Now, what she should have done, Carrie, as far as I'm concerned, is describe those a little bit, because we can interpret those different ways. But different types from this book: innovative, radicals, conventionals, and domestics. I'd like to see her definition, but I guess we can draw some conclusions.
Yeah, I didn't find those four headings too difficult to put subheadings of different job descriptions under them.
Tom, I think he just called me out.
I think he did, too.
I think he did. Okay, well, carry the ball then, my friend.
Well, let's start backwards. Domestics. I think of that as anything that possibly could be related to more domestic-type items.
Yeah.
QVC could be something like that. People hawking products.
They're not all one type. Female entrepreneurs are not all one type as a Barbie doll would be. They're not all so young. And women strongly believe in, we'll call it, work-life balance. And that's for, it's still for obvious reasons, because women still are the primary caretakers. That is still happening. So they need to have that life-work balance. And also it tells us that women, like women in fact, do a lot of volunteering. And so that's important. So there's different thoughts, and the idea of the entrepreneur Barbie, and our author says it's a hit for Mattel, a total miss for women. Women are different. A couple of points, Carrie, that I want to make, you know, that's not in this article, that I think are important in terms of women entrepreneurship. Women as entrepreneurs would probably make good strategic partners, because they tend to be more collaborative. And if you employ women where you're at, think of these lessons, because women leave businesses because you didn't give them, the business owner did not give them the flexible time that they needed. So they may be unhappy, and they may leave and start their own business because of that. So if you're running a business and you have a woman in any level of your organization, be very mindful of this, because it's important you keep that talent. Always remember, women are consumers. They're influencing buying all over the place. And if you don't realize that, business people, get on the bandwagon. So, Entrepreneur Barbie, a hit for Mattel, total miss for women. We'll be right back on the Business Builder Show, and are with our special guest, Denise Stanislawczyk from ABB Industries, Women in Manufacturing. We'll be right back.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. Our special guest today is Denise Stanislawczyk. Hi, Denise.
Hello, Marty.
Denise first got my attention when I saw a press release that read, Warminster, Pennsylvania businesswoman earns prestigious manufacturing award. That got my attention. Now, since we spend considerable time talking about women in business, I felt Denise would make a great guest. So, Denise, again, welcome to the Business Builder Show.
Thank you for inviting me to your show.
I'm excited about it. Denise, we learned from a report put out by the Manufacturing Institute that women make up 46.6% of the total workforce, yet only 24.8% of the durable goods manufacturing workforce. With that being said, tell us what you do now for your company and how did you get your start in manufacturing?
Well, Marty, I am the operations manager at ABB in Warminster, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And this site manufactures measurement instrumentation for the power, water, and chemical industries.
Mm-hmm.
We produce 10 different products with literally thousands of variations.
Mm-hmm.
And I am responsible for producing quality products delivered on time to our customers competitively. How I started in manufacturing, well, straight out of high school, I worked in an office for a few years, and then I interviewed for a job at ABB as an expediter.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, we manufactured large induction furnaces that melted steel for foundries. And I always enjoyed walking through the shop and seeing product being built.
Interesting. Okay.
I worked myself up to supply chain manager, responsible for all materials and a small portion of the fab shop, while going to school nights for my undergraduate and graduate degrees. But unfortunately, as so many other manufacturing companies, we moved the manufacturing out of the U.S.
I see. Okay.
But then I was fortunate to obtain a job here in Warminster in supply management. But my heart was in manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied for a job as a supervisor on the shop floor, and now I run the operations, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
Wow, that is a great story. And your choice to go into manufacturing, I find fascinating, man or woman, because manufacturing in the United States, well, at least the press tells us it's struggling a little bit, but in your part of the world, it seems to be doing okay, I guess. And, well, give me some feedback on that. The health of manufacturing, and I know this is off script a little bit, but just give me 2 cents on your thoughts on the health of manufacturing in the United States.
Well, presently, it is, you know, we ran into a situation where we did have some challenges,
mm-hmm.
because of the economic environment.
Mm-hmm.
And managing the appropriate staff for fluctuating business volume can be challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So since we produce 10 different products with literally thousands of variations, we need to cross-train each person in at least 3 different processes. Our highly skilled and flexible workforce enables us to react quickly
mm-hmm.
to our customers' orders and constant changes.
What does ABB really stand for?
Asea Brown Boveri. It was both companies, Asea as well as Brown Boveri, began in the 1800s, and they merged in the 1980s.
Mm. Worldwide, of course.
Yes, worldwide.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get into where this all started. For congratulations for being recognized with the very prestigious Women in Manufacturing STEP Award, STEP Award. Denise, first of all, tell me what are the STEP Awards and why are they important for acknowledging women in the manufacturing industry? So what's the STEP Award?
All right, the Manufacturing Institute, which is an affiliate of the National Association of Manufacturers, launched the Step Ahead initiative in 2012 to recognize women in the manufacturing industry.
Mm-hmm.
STEP stands for Women Involved with Science, Technology, Engineering, and Production.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The award program was held in Washington, D.C. on February 6th.
Right. Okay.
And I'm very excited and honored to receive this award. In the morning, we were invited to Capitol Hill and met with Senator Patty Murray from Seattle, also Representative Shelley Moore Capito from West Virginia, and Sandra Brown, who is the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Manufacturing. All were very interesting, and we enjoyed hearing their individual life stories of why they became involved in our government.
Mm-hmm.
And how manufacturing affects our economy.
Yes.
In the afternoon, we attended a leadership program,
mm-hmm.
and I was introduced to the National Girls Collaborative Program, which focuses on inspiring the next generation of women. I was not aware of this particular project until I attended the session in Washington. So both of these sessions were very interesting. And in the evening, we attended the awards dinner held at the Andrew W. Mellon Auditorium. It was amazing to meet so many women who have a positive impact on their company and the manufacturing industry. And it's important to acknowledge these women in manufacturing since we are the minority.
Yes.
As you mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It's true because you mentioned, according to the articles, there are 46.6% women in the workforce, but only 24.8% in the manufacturing industry. And ABB, the company I work for, has a commitment to diversity.
Hmm.
They launched a women's mentoring program in 2013 to develop women leaders. And it provides growth opportunities for women who want to build their careers. Programs like these help address some of the specific industry concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Being in manufacturing is always about meeting challenges and finding innovative solutions.
You can say that again. I've been around manufacturing and distribution, and it's a mistake-free kind of environment. At least that's what you strive for, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And the company that you kept in that awards dinner was pretty high level. And so let me ask you this question. Since we said that in durable goods manufacturing, only 24.8% of the workforce is women, why is that?
I just reading some of the articles, and when you pick up the Wall Street Journal, you'll see that manufacturing people aren't encouraged to go into manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's women or men,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we need to attract, retain, and advance women in manufacturing and change the external image of manufacturing.
Yes, in a big way, because it really is foundational. And the other part that I am thinking about, and we can get to this in the next segment, we only have about a minute left in this segment, is, you know, how important we're talking about women in manufacturing, really can provide the skills or help with the skills gap in manufacturing. I mean, do you see it the same way, Denise?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely a skills gap in manufacturing, and women can address this gap. Women represent a large pool of untapped talent since they are only 24.8% of the manufacturing workforce. I was just so amazed to see so many young women at the STEP Awards in so many different facets of the manufacturing industry.
And the CEOs being named, Mary Barra, am I getting that right, with General Motors at a very top level CEO, I think, of General Motors.
Yes.
That's significant.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
People like Sheryl Sandberg writing books like Lean In terms of women in the workforce. I think that's having an effect. So, you know, I mean, all of this going on, I think, is really, really important. And again, this is a business show. We talk about these things because we'd like to think what we're talking about, Denise, is practical. It's just flat out practical. So, you know, we're going to be spending more time talking with Denise Stanislawczyk, and she is with ABB Industries, I think is the right word, out of Warminster, Pennsylvania. We'll be right back after this short break.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Informing, educating, and encouraging. The Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builders Show. Our special guest today is Denise Stanislawczyk, and we are talking about women in manufacturing, or we are talking about manufacturing. And Denise happens to be a woman, and we're going down that road, and we're having a great time. So let's see here, Denise. Let's get a little personal. Now, you got involved in manufacturing several years ago. The question I have is, what do you like about it? What got you there, and what do you like about it? You're continuing to work there. Tell us about that.
Well, the manufacturing industry, Marty, is constantly changing and always challenging. It's never a dull moment. Every time I walk in here in the morning, you never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it has so many different facets, and you need to be passionate to be successful. And there's nothing more satisfying to me than walking through the plant and seeing quality products being produced by our greatest asset, our employees.
Mm-hmm.
We are always driving positive change to improve how we deliver to our customers.
Mm-hmm.
And since I've been responsible for the manufacturing operation, we have consistently improved on-time delivery from 70% to 97%.
Wow.
And we
special.
Just made a lot of changes with lean manufacturing, implementing different processes.
Mm-hmm. And you just don't walk into lean manufacturing. People played an important part of that, correct, Denise?
Absolutely, yes.
And you have ongoing training, and, well, let me use that as a question for you. Over the years, did you have any mentors, and stay with the idea of women in manufacturing. Did you have any mentors yourself?
Well, being in manufacturing, I would say I was the only woman involved with manufacturing.
That's important to mention.
I enjoyed it. It was a challenge. But I have to say, through the years, there were so many of my male counterparts that I worked with that, you know, I learned from them, and it was just extremely interesting. And now, being in operations responsible for the plant, I have several women working for me.
That's superb.
So,
how about associations, like the Manufacturing Institute? Do you rely on associations and those kind of networks over the years to help you grow and learn?
It was difficult at times going to school evenings. You know, in the past I did spend some time with, you know, the Purchasing Association, but there are so many interesting articles, whether it's in the Wall Street Journal or on the website for the Manufacturing Institute.
Mm-hmm.
So that you could gain so much knowledge from so many different avenues.
You know, and Denise, some of our audience may not understand the... I guess I'll use the precision and that it takes in manufacturing to build these products that you have described. It takes a lot of work and a lot of detail and focus, and lean manufacturing is just one of the things that you do. So I wanted to drive home that point, because this is not a loosey-goosey kind of thing. Durable good manufacturing has to be right on the money. So let's talk about opportunities for women in manufacturing. What do you see, particular jobs? Or what do you see in the future?
Well, there are a lot of opportunities, and I think it's endless for the opportunities for women in manufacturing, either from building the product, engineering the product, quality, my position as the operations manager, even as a general manager, even CEO of a company. When I was in at the STEP Awards, I met several CEOs of companies run by women. You know, there are endless.
Would there be any educational paths that you would like? For instance, I think you're referring to engineering and sciences, and just like you're saying in the STEP, which stands for, again, science, technology, engineering, and production in your case. Now, there's a lot of talk about the business case for women in business in general, and they talk about the STEM, or science, technology, engineering, and math. Do you have any suggested educational or career paths that you would recommend for women in manufacturing?
I agree with you. I mean, I highly recommend an education in the sciences or engineering, also in management, because I know I myself, you know, I took courses in management, but I made sure that I had a few of the engineering courses just so that I could relate to what's going on out into the shop floor. I definitely suggest obtaining your master's just to have an advantage over others.
Mm-hmm.
So education is extremely important.
Let's go back to the practical point of view of women in manufacturing. Again, from the same article or report from the Manufacturing Institute, and anybody listening, I would suggest you Google Manufacturing Institute and see what's going on there. Here's a quote from that article, and I'd like you to speak to this, Denise. Fortune 500 companies with high percentages of women officers had a 35% higher return on equity and a 34% higher total return than companies with fewer women executives.
That sounds really practical to me, Denise, to be looking for women in manufacturing. What's your thoughts?
Yes, absolutely. And as I mentioned before, we need to attract, retain, and advance women in manufacturing and change the external image of manufacturing. As I mentioned, many parents do not encourage their children to pursue careers in manufacturing, and especially women. We need to change the perception, and there are so many opportunities, especially now since we are seeing an increase in manufacturing in the U.S. In a recent survey, most of the women agreed that their career in manufacturing is rewarding and interesting, mm-hmm. and if they were to begin their career again today, they would pursue a job in manufacturing, and I wholeheartedly agree.
You know, I guess there's still some of the stigma, like you're saying, that all manufacturing is dirty and grimy and dark,
yes.
and hot and all these other kind of things, and it's just not true. I mean, I'm sure there are some spots like that, Denise, right? But for the most part, a lot of these plants are highly technical, very driven from a technology standpoint, right? So, I mean, the opportunities are really, really great. Somebody we talked about, I can't remember her name, Carrie, but she has a company called Goldie Blocks. Have you heard of her, Denise? Fascinating story.
Mm. A young woman. She's an engineer, and she
sounds
was specifically
familiar, yeah.
She was specifically designing toys for young girls to
yes.
ignite their engineering and mechanical background, as opposed to just the Barbie dolls.
Yes, you know,
yeah.
I all those kinds of things are happening around us, and I find it so exciting, and I also find it, I'm going to use the word practical, and I'm sorry I'm repeating myself, but I want to drive home the point, because let's go back to this statistic. The reality is that there's huge opportunities for women. They represent a small part of the workforce in manufacturing. Now, let me tell you something. Let me ask you, not tell you something. I want to ask you something. Can you make some money doing this?
Absolutely.
I'll put you right on the spot. Well, kind of give us a little more feedback on that. You can. These are good careers, right?
Yes, they are. And there are so many ways. I mean, coming out straight out of college to get involved with manufacturing, or if you start in the shop floor first.
Yes.
And then work yourself up, either as a flow line leader or supervisor. Some of the young college graduates that we're bringing in, ABB offers a rotational program where they could visit various manufacturing sites mm-hmm. throughout ABB, whether it's in the U.S. or overseas.
There you go.
And it's a wonderful opportunity.
It
and
is.
With their engineering degree, they could, some of them are part of our operational excellence team that basically focus on improving our processes.
Excellent. Denise, we need to stop right there. And we've been listening with Denise Stanislawczyk of ABB Industries in Warminster, Pennsylvania. Denise, thank you for being part of the Business Builder Show.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. Denise Stanislawczyk, great interview, a lot of great insights about the opportunities for women in manufacturing. Now we're going to switch industries a little bit, Carrie and Tom. And there's an article from a person named Amy Zantek Carney, C-A-R-N-E-Y, and she talks about women are the solution to the skills gap, and she has four ideas on how to make that happen. She talks about, I'm going to read the sentence, it is no secret that the cyber industry is starting to feel strained by the lack of skilled workers in the marketplace. The skills gap is very present in the cyber and IT industries, leaving employers struggling to find qualified and knowledgeable workers to fill their vacancies. So for clarity's sake, cyber industry or cybersecurity, Carrie.
Okay.
Remember Target very recently around the holidays had problems with their credit cards. Well, that's fraud, and that's technology, and that's cyber problems.
Hacking.
That's hacking. So that's kind of the industry, which is very deep. The news about the NSA has made everything, you know, very... So you get the idea what the cyber industry, and that's connected to the IT industries. And this particular woman is suggesting that women are the solution to the skills gaps in this industry, and Denise actually has mentioned it, in manufacturing. And there are companies like IBM and Northrop Grumman who are actually teaming up with colleges and universities and providing opportunities for women. And the author suggests or asks, why aren't we talking more about, you know, women in these kinds of industries, even when they're younger, in grade school, in high school? And specifically what she's talking about, Carrie, is the STEM industries.
Yeah, right? To set that up, Marty, only 10% of females are in that industry, and they want to make a change.
Right, and STEM, again, we've talked about this in the past, is science, technology, engineering, and math. So, good point, Carrie. 10% of this industry is women. So, sounds like an opportunity for me. And since you're having trouble, these industries are having trouble finding help. Now, what this author points out that, you know, young girls still today may still be playing with the Barbie, maybe not even the entrepreneur Barbie, but mm-hmm. with the Barbie, and maybe not enough talking about math and science. And we have a favorite topic that we keep bringing up regarding this, and it's called Goldilocks.
Goldilocks.
Is the name of the company.
Yeah, it's made by a girl named, she invented it, Debbie Sterling. Wow. And it'll get young girls into more analytical type thinking by playing with the series of blocks that really helps their engineering blossom, or trying to be an engineer or ignite that fire.
Which perfectly fits for what's needed in the marketplace, and they learn to be engineers and get great jobs, or they become engineers and take over, start companies like she did. Now, this author suggests four ideas in terms of helping women fill the skills gap. Start promoting the STEM subjects for children. We kind of talked about that, and Goldilocks is an example. If you have a young girls in your house, you may want to look at Goldilocks and introduce it. If you are inclined to do so, continue to support young women in these STEM fields and these cyber-related fields. And one of the things she mentions, Carrie, is girls who code, in terms of supporting that. Do you know something about girls who code?
Yeah, I looked it up. Their mission statement says, girls who code programs work to inspire, educate, and equip girls with the computing skills to pursue 21st century opportunities.
I'm loving it.
Again, it's various organization, educational, business, to try and instill that sense of the sciences and the math in young girls.
There you go. Another point she makes is that, you know what? You do need the support of us guys. So when you see a man who's supporting these kinds of issues and supporting women in the workplace, you know, support them and encourage them to continue to do so. Now, a point I always want to make when we're talking about business is, why do we want to do this? Because it matters. It drives the bottom line. Both women in filling the skills gap, women in the higher levels in terms of executive spots, and we quoted some statistics that your profitability is better when you think this way and when you act this way. Point number four she talks about is go for it. If you're a woman and you want to get into these fields, is go for it. And one of the things she talks about is, two things she talks about is code.org, and the other one she talks about is the Khan Academy.
Spell that.
K-H-A-N, Khan Academy. If you don't know about this, I can't give you all the details. You must look this up because it directly relates to our topic for both men and women, but definitely we're talking about women. And what is the Khan Academy? It is a free, world-class education for anyone, anywhere. Here's the description. Khan Academy is an organization on a mission. We're a not-for-profit with the goal of changing education for the better by providing a free, world-class education for anyone, anywhere. There's no, if you live here, you live there, anyone, anywhere. Here's where they focus. They do focus on the sciences and the math and those kinds of things that we're talking about in this show and the STEM industries. But it's and those kinds of topics, but the idea, and it's the khanacademy.org, the idea that this is out here and gaining huge steam. Actually, they're on 60 Minutes a few months ago.
I saw, and in Success Magazine a few months ago.
They were, that's right. So the idea is that you can access this. And there's a library of all kinds of information from math, science, biology, chemistry, physics. They even talk about the humanities and so those kinds of things. And here's what's, I think, is really important for our listeners or for business people. You get into the Khan Academy and you're learning, you can earn what they call badges. Badges worth bragging about. Now, you're a woman or a man. And you want to get into the cyber industry, you want to get into the STEM field, you can begin your learning by going to the Khan Academy. You can progress through this process and earn badges. So if you apply for a job, you want a promotion, you have this badge from the Khan that you can brag about because you have validated something, this is pretty powerful.
It's a world-class educational academic.
It's unbelievable. And here's a super cool part of this. If you are a student or if you have a mentor, your mentor, if you wish, or your teacher or your professor can see your work on the Khan Academy and continue to coach and support you. I think that's just unbelievable. I mean, so that is so exciting in terms of our topic today, Carrie. I think in terms of...
We should revisit that and talk more about
the Khan
Academy.
We got to go deeper on the khanacademy.org. Now, I said at the beginning of the show, we're covering a lot of ground and very, very rapidly. So the last thing I want to talk about, Carrie, is from Mike Rowe. Dirty Jobs TV show, a lot of people know Mike Rowe. He asked the question, is college the only way to gain success? And so he's going to give a little pushback to the STEM idea, and he adds an S to the M of STEM, Carrie. And what is the S that he's adding?
Skills. So, but he doesn't know whether to put it in the beginning or the end. But it is skills.
And the point that he's making is that is a college degree mandatory, and the answer is no. We had Bob Funk from Express Employment Professionals on the show a little while ago, and he had thousands and thousands and thousands of jobs, CNC programmers, IT professionals, cyber professionals. There is huge opportunities, and you don't necessarily need that four-year degree. Now, Denise, in her interview, said having a master's degree would help in manufacturing, and if you want to grow, I certainly understand that. But you need to follow, if you're in business or you want to get the whole idea of what Mike Rowe is talking about, check on him with go to MikeRowWorks.com, MikeRowWorks.com.
And by skills, he's talking about a trade.
A trade,
skill.
Trades, science and technology, math, very good. And there's a lot of funding in the government coming from that. But where we have the skills gap is in these kinds of trades. So thanks again for being part of the show. We appreciate you taking time. Carrie and Tom, as always, thanks for your support. Denise Stanislawczyk of ABB Industries, thanks for being our special guest today. Next week, our guest will be Rich Armstrong. Rich is the president of a company called The Great Game of Business, and this is about a topic that a lot of us know or think of as open book management. I firmly believe that this kind of information can help drive our economy. We do our best on the Business Builder Show, so you can do your best. Want to listen to some of our past shows? Go to businessbuildersglobal.com, businessbuildersglobal.com. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great week.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.